Doc Young, and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly.
Don't say it, Doc. Let me say it.
Sure.
Let me say it. We have with us wrestling's answer to George Steinbrenner, owner of the Yankees, Jimmy Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys. My friend D'Lo Brown. What the hell are you doing buying a football team in Illinois?
You know, it was about trying to do something. You know, we all try to find an exit strategy out of this business, and we all want to leave this business on our own terms. And this is just, you know, trying to do something with my money so I don't have to bump so damn much.
Well, you could have sent me some of it.
I got to hoard it all for my wife sometimes, so I got to find something to do with it.
How did this, seriously, you know, I'm obviously picking at you, but how did this come about? I mean, this particular team.
Well, I've always had, you know, I love football. And,
sure.
I love Chicago, and this is the closest team I could get to is Chicago. And ironically, a friend of mine owned the team, and he thought it would be a great investment for me to come in with him and join in with him. And through sitting down and weighing the pros and cons, it just seemed like a very viable thing to do. And then I bought into the Springfield Stallions.
And their season is just actually getting ready to start, right?
Yeah, it starts March 23rd is our first game.
Cool.
Statistically, over the last few years, how are the Stallions doing?
Last year, we challenged for the league championship.
Excellent.
But did not win. And this year, our team is good, if not better, than last year's team. And I think we're going to put a quality product out there. And, you know, the cool thing about it is we're not just putting on football games, arena football games. You know, after every home game is going to be, for example, the first home game, ironically, is going to be a wrestling event held after the show. And then we're going to do things like concerts and, you know, bring your kids on the field day, stuff like that. And,
cool.
You know, just try to make it a family and friendly environment, and not to steal the term, but, you know, try to make it the best of sports and entertainment, not just sports entertainment.
You know, Dee, I'm going to throw this out there real quick. You never met Ron Fuller.
Mm-mm, no.
Robert's older brother, who used to promote Southeastern Wrestling in Knoxville and in Mobile. He and Bob Polk, who was part of the wrestling deal in Knoxville, they brought the Cyclones hockey team here to Cincinnati. And when they called me and said, you know, it was before it even came out in the press, we're going to do this, I said, are you nuts? Because minor league hockey had seen like three or four incarnations here,
right,
and just died on the vine. But they came in and did this, you know, they paralleled it with wrestling in terms of they promoted it.
Yeah.
You know, and did gimmick nights and this and that, and they made it successful. So, man, I think you're on the right track. And of course, you're in a city, I mean, you're not in New York or Chicago or
no.
Cleveland, where there's all sorts of things like that going on anyway. You're in a more medium-sized city where you can get a grip on the fans a little better.
Yeah, I mean, literally, we're the only game in town. And, you know, my big thing that I said is just because we're the only game in town, we need to be the best game in town. And, you know, we don't need to rest on our laurels and say, okay, we're the only choice. No, I want to be a choice that people want to make voluntarily. I mean, we're even having our, you know, our first scrimmage, our red-black game, and, you know, we're going to do crazy things like the first 100 people through the door will buy one, get one free season tickets. You know, I mean, just so we want to draw people in and make it an experience. I'd rather have them go to a Stallions football game than go to the movies or, you know, what. You know, you probably go to a Stallions game for cheaper than what take a family of four to go to the movies anyway.
You're right.
So I just want to make it a family-friendly environment and just have a good time with it.
You mentioned you couldn't get into Chicago after Sunday night. Do you still want to think about getting into Chicago?
You know, I love Chicago. I hate Rex Grossman.
you know, I'm a Redskins fan. Of course, the Bengals, too. But I took the Colts. I just said, you know, when it comes down to the pressure, I think Manning's going to be the man.
Well, and, you know, we played great all season long. And the national audience only got to see us three or four times play. But I am... You know, I could be one thing. Losing in the Super Bowl is okay. If you have a great game, you get beat. But when I have friends calling me during the game and go, how did this team even qualify for the playoffs? Or how does this team even in the Super Bowl? And you can't defend it because you're watching your team lay a turd in front of 92 million people.
Amen.
I have defended that team for the last 25 years. Okay.
I'll tell you, Les,
me and D'Lo spoke privately on the phone yesterday, and we were like two sore losers. We were just like, Grossman, what's the matter with them?
We were mad. I said to some young independent wrestlers today, I said, you know, there's a point to be made here. At any level, if you're trying to achieve something in our business, or whether it's a Super Bowl or trying to get to the Super Bowl, when the time comes, you either step up or you don't.
You're absolutely right. You're given very few opportunities, especially in that league where, you know, some of the great ones never even got to play in that game.
Sure.
And you don't know if you'll ever get back there again. So you need, if you don't step up in that game, you will never step up. And, I mean, it just, that is the game of the immortals. And if you play well there, you remember forever. I mean, Lynn Swann wasn't the greatest receiver, but everyone remembers his great catches in his Super Bowls. He's in the Hall of Fame because of it.
You're right.
I mean, that is the game where you set yourself apart. And all Rex Grossman did was prove he was better than about three high school players in the state of Ohio, and that was it.
Why are you picking on Ohio, for God's sake?
Well, I mean, because there's some great players in there, so he's better than about three of them.
You're right. Well, Roethlisberger's from here, and Ohio State got their butts handed to him this year in the Rose Bowl. I mean, in the championship playoff game, but still, you know, they've got some good ball. But, yeah, you know, now, you're talking about the Super Bowl. I go back, I mentioned the Redskins, being a Redskins fan. I remember all the controversy about Doug Williams, and he talked about stepping up.
Oh, and what did he do, put up 28 points in a quarter?
Yeah.
And no one thought he belonged even in that game. He's not a great quarterback. Well, all you remember is Doug Williams put up 28 points in a quarter.
Yeah. Now, you know, again, parallel with our business, and this is something I've told, you know, well, you, in fact, you may have heard me say it when you were around here, but I've told kids, I said, you know what, so I know some of my best matches were if Jack Briscoe was on the card or Harley, I mean, if I was working a semifinal to a world title match, I'd say, boys, lace them up. I'm going out there and steal this friggin' show.
And, you know, and now we segue into wrestling. To me, the sign of a great worker is not going out there and doing high spot or whatever you do. The sign of a great worker is stepping up when the odds are stacked against you. If you're going, you're proceeding a world title match and you've got two great workers behind you, that's your spot to go out there and impress the promoter, impress the fans, impress the public, because the eyes are on you whether you know it or not, because that match is typically the match that brings the crowd down before the main event.
Right.
So if you go out there and you tear it up, and they can't follow you, well, guess what? You're remembered now.
Mm-hmm. To have somebody like that's got to follow you as you come back into the dressing room, say, boy, you're making it tough on me tonight.
Right, or, I love it when the main event goes, man, I dare you to leave something out there for me. Because that meant I did my job, but I did it better, and those guys appreciated what I did, because now I'm forcing them to work harder. To get a great reaction, I'm making them work harder to raise their level up. So now the entire show has been raised up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want to be and do as a worker.
Hey, I saw where you guys were on the Sadler, you and Maven. I thought that was an HWA match over.
Yes, it was.
Sadler show.
Speaking of that, you know, Maven and I, we ripped it up. I mean, just he is, I will tell anybody, Maven is 10,000 times better than the last time you saw him, and it's amazing how far he's come with his little works he does now out in the Independence. But, you know, we were in a semi-main event spot, and we tore it up both nights. And, you know, when you have the promoter come back to you and say, man, I need that every night on my shows, that's all you can ask for.
Sure. Yeah. That's great. Are you going to work some more shows for him? I'm assuming you are.
Yeah, I'm going to work some more shows for him. I'm going to start trying to segue a little more back in the States. I'm still going to do my Japan stuff, but... you know, I've made that flight to Japan 40 times in 48 months, and it's starting to
Wear on you.
And it's 17 hours one way, so that's 80 flights of 17 hours, and it's really, really starting to beat me down.
Yeah, I know. You know, Rosie lives not far from me here, and I know we were talking about that, and he's said, hell, his body clock don't know which way to go.
No, I mean, when I get home, it literally takes me a week to get straight on time, because I'll sit up all night and then try to sleep all day. I'm trying to still be on, you know, Japan time. And you still got to be, you know, husband and Mr. Mom while you're home, so you can't sleep all day, and it's difficult. It's very difficult. And, you know, trust me, I love working there. I find working there is is a lot more rewarding sometimes than being here in the States.
Yeah, a young man that saw you on an indie show over in Indiana a week or so ago told me you'd slimmed down some. So what is your weight now?
I'm about 270, but I'm just a different 270 than I used to be.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm still around the same weight, just put in better spots.
Right. Good man.
Excellent.
Good man.
Yeah. So,
D'Lo, you were talking about, of course, now you're splitting your time between Japan and the United States,
mm-hmm.
and doing things like that. I know, and you probably get this, and this probably is brought up a lot, but you are an accountant,
mm-hmm.
and it's tax season. So are you swamped with that kind of thing?
You know, my degree in accounting is so old now, and the tax code changes every quarter, and then multiply that by 50 states. I am so far behind, I'd have to go get another degree just to even do my own taxes now.
Oh, I could have sworn that you had said you did it for your family and stuff like that.
Well, no, I used to do it for my family, but then it just it got too much. And then if I didn't get them back what they wanted, it got too much.
I know Alice and I sat with, we went to our tax preparers today to get 06 taken care of. And after an hour and a half, and she said, here, let me explain to you. I said, please just show me where to sign it. Don't, because I won't understand it after you explain it to me anyway.
Well, the funny story is the first time I met I have a great accountant named David, and he didn't know anything about my background. So we're sitting there and we're talking, and he pulls out the paper and he puts it down. And I look it over and I said, David, there's a problem with line item 47B, the foreign tax credit. And he goes, pardon me? And I said, I think you need to check those numbers again. And he looked at me and goes, okay, I got you now. So he, at that moment, he knew. I mean, because that's just some obscure little reference that you only get if you're an insider. So he now triple checks and quadruple checks my statements before he sends it to me.
D'Lo, I want to get to some questions from the chat room.
Okay.
We've got our live chat room going, and James Young, no relation to either myself or May, wants to know, were you contacted for Wrestling Society X to do a match?
No, I wasn't, and the big part of that was, I think it was put down the wire that I was so consumed with Japan that I wouldn't be a viable fit for their product because I couldn't commit to their schedule or being around for their tapings. So, no, I was not contacted by them. I think Vampiro said a couple things to me in passing, but nothing ironclad.
Have you got to check out the show yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
Who better says, how did you like working with Ahmed Johnson?
Ahmed is a big, strong, scary guy.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got to work with him, I was as green as peach moss. I was still, I was very young in the business, and so I spent most of the time running, half the time praying, and the rest of the time bumping. So
well, it's kind of when you say working with Ahmed Johnson, it's not really that, is it?
No, it's running for your life. Because he's so scarily strong. He doesn't know how strong he is.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you look back on it and go, whew, I had some decent matches, but while you're doing them, you're not thinking that at all.
You're worried about your health.
Yeah.
Big Joe says, do you still wear the chest protector? Maybe at some indies or anything like that?
No, and Les can attest to this. I think it was Pillman 2000. I raffled the chest protector off and came up with a matching offer for the chest protector. I think we got $2,000 donated for it. I put another $2,000 in, so there's somewhere in Cincinnati area, some guy's got it framed in his house.
Sweet.
Or else he's wearing it as an umpire at the Little League Baseball.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to really hear what he might be wearing it to do, because that might be too much for my ear. Too much information.
did you feel like they kept that on you too long as a gimmick?
Towards the end, it kind of became, okay, there's the guy with the catcher's protector on.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it was really great because it stood, made me stand out. And it seemed like once I took it off, then my singles career really started to explode. So, I mean, I can't complain about it because it did elevate me and create me. So, I mean, heck, people still ask about it now. Maybe I should still have it on.
Yeah. Feet on the Rope says there was a rumor going around that you were going to be going to WCW when Vince Russo took over creative over there. Was there any truth to that?
There was a point there where there were some negotiations with WCW, I don't want to go into too much because I'll probably get in trouble, but there was some talk.
Okay. DiCapo says, did you bring the rubbernecking aspect to your character? Was that your idea?
That was totally me. if anybody's ever watched the movie Friday, Ice Cube and Chris Tucker.
Yes.
There's a point in there where Debo knocks a guy out for his bike, and Chris Tucker runs up and, you know, hangs over top of him and said, "Boy, you got knocked up, bleep out," and he's shaking his head.
Right.
So, me and Rocky, we love Friday. We've watched that movie countless times. So there was one time when we're at TV, and I forget, Rocky popped somebody and they roll off the floor, and I did the Chris Tucker, "You got knocked up, bleep out." And I remember seeing it, I was, oh my God, I cursed on TV.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm getting in trouble. So as soon as I walk back to the back, and there's Vince, he goes, "Bilo, come here." And I'm like, oh, damn. He goes, that head thing, keep doing it. And that's
yes.
where it came from.
Excellent.
Doc, he's telling you about Pillman 2000. His escort to the ring for that match was the Cincinnati Reds relief pitcher Danny Graves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Danny could do the head just like, he did. I swear he did.
He's a sassy. That's probably how he kept getting himself hurt, doing the head shake.
Yeah.
I think if you go on MySpace, you could probably see teenagers still all over the country trying to imitate the head thing.
I swear, I'm at my gym now, and it's right across, you know, whenever I go to my workout at my gym, and it's a Saturday, and the kids are there, it looks like when they talk to each other and they get excited, they're doing the head. And I don't know if that's me being, you know, thinking I'm more than what I am, or, you know, I don't know, but if it is and it's pop culture, that's pretty damn cool.
That is cool. They would have to rename it the D-Lo.
Yeah.
Don't D-Lo me.
Don't D-Lo me. That's what Trish Stratus used to say when people would recognize. She goes, "I just got D-Lo'd instead. I got recognized." She goes, "I just got D-Lo'd." So that was always cool.
Do you ever see Rock at all anymore?
No. His schedule is so hectic. He's out on the West Coast so much, and when he comes back east here, it's to pop in and pop out. I mean, we've crossed in passing, but nothing where we sat down and broke bread.
Yeah, I was curious about it, if you still talk to some of the Smoky Mountain guys you came up with, like Chris Jericho and Kane. And
I talked to Kane. I talked to Dr. Tom Pritchard. I try to stay in touch with a lot of guys, but it's just this business is such where it's set up where you cannot talk to somebody for 5 years, and then when you see them in the locker room, you talk like you not missed a beat and you just keep going.
Right.
I mean, it's just the nature of this beast. So we're, you know. You keep in touch as much as you can, but, you know, we're such a transient people that it's hard to really, really, really keep in touch.
Big Papa Pump says, "Who trained you? I heard one time that you were one of the best wrestlers fundamentally."
Ironically, I trained myself in my backyard and then BS my way into Smoky Mountain, where pretty much Jim Cornette rechanged me and retaught me, and then spending time with Al Snow really honed my skills. So a combination of Jim Cornette and Al Snow.
And then he was my first ever HWA heavyweight champion.
Yes, I was.
I don't know what this would have to do with you, but Chrissy says, "How did you feel about Mark Henry's push he had going on before he got hurt?"
Very happy about it. I talked to Mark constantly. I talked to him throughout that whole run of his, and was very saddened and disappointed when he got hurt.
Do you know what's the status of that?
The last time I talked to him, he was already through rehab and just getting strength back. So I can't tell you what his status of TV return is, but he's ahead of schedule where he should be.
Excellent.
He's way ahead of schedule.
And D-Lo will tell you the same thing. When Mark first came in and Dr. Tom started training him, he kind of had an attitude, but that changed.
Changed quickly because,
yes.
You know, Mark loved him. He's always been a great athlete, and he's always been the top dog. And wrestling is not an industry where you can come in as a top dog, and you have to pay respect to those who have been there before you. And you can't come in with that attitude. And it took Mark a little while of time to adjust, but once he did, he hit his stride. And, you know, Mark, I'll tell you, his heart is as big as the state of Texas. And here's an example. If he would give you the shirt off his back, and if you didn't take it, he would beat you up and put it on you. I mean, that's just Mark, and that's one of the biggest compliments I can pay to him. He is a loving, caring, and just a huge, huge heart. And like I said, I'm waiting for him to come back, and whatever he does, I'll live vicariously through him.
You know, I love him to death. One of the nicest compliments I've ever gotten, and I'll never forget it, when he was just first, you know, starting to be utilized by WWF at the time, we sat down in the box seats at the Gardens, Cincinnati Gardens, one afternoon, he and his fiance and I, and we're just talking, and, you know, talking about the business, and I was making comments, and he was asking questions, and I never thought any more about it. And then I guess it was a couple years later, I said something about, I said, you've improved. And I said, he said, well, I just did what you told me. And I looked at him like, huh? He said, well, you know, we sat there in Cincinnati, and you told me I need to study my craft and master it. And I took you at your word. And I was just, you know, I mean, it was just a conversation to me.
Yeah, but Mark will listen. People,
yeah, and
people,
I thought, man, I can't tell you how you know, happy I am to hear that, and that if I had one little thing to do with it, I'm just, I'll tell you something. Were you at the 2001 filming?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
I believe so, yeah.
I told somebody this the other day, and they looked at me like they thought I was nuts. I said, to me, one of the highlights of that show for me was DeMott and Mark's match. Now, I said, don't get me wrong, it wasn't a five-star match. But for two guys their size, they went out there and ran spot. I mean, they had a heck of a match, I thought. Did you watch it? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but, you know, I don't doubt it.
Yeah,
I don't doubt it.
I said to them, I said, you know, something special happens at this show every year. And I said to Mark, and I said, you two guys could go out there and be part of that special thing this year. And to me, it was. And if anybody ever gets a chance to see that on tape, again, it wasn't Benoit and Guerrero for 60 minutes, but you're talking about 200-300-pound-plus guys here, and they were booking, man, and it was I was really excited for them. I really was.
You know, if you put it in the context of 200-300-pound guys going out there and working, it's relative to who they are and what they're doing. And
sure.
It's you can't compare it to Benoit Guerrero or,
no.
You know, Benoit Regal. I mean, you just go out there and you compare it to what they're doing. And
when they're doing drop-down leapfrog spots, that's, I mean, for those guys, that size, that's
right.
You know, that's
great. That's an impressive thing.
Sure.
Now, I wanted to ask you, what were some of your favorite pre-WWF feuds, and what about some of the post-TNA feuds? This comes from Professor VNS in the chat room.
Pre-WWE feuds would have to be like, example, the Gangsters versus the Rock and Roll Express. That's where I really got a lot of my seasoning and just being a part of that and being around Ricky and Robert and learning from them just really allowed me to grow. Post anything I did with AJ Styles. He's a phenomenal worker. And just to be, you know, in the ring with him, he raises your level up. And, you know, a lot of the stuff I did in Japan, I mean, wrestling Great Muda and, you know, wrestling Kawada and Kojima, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Those are, you know, and doing the Tokyo Egg Dome last month, those are great things. So, very proud of those.
Doc, in terms of a learning time, when and Smokey was one of the last territories,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to realize it was Rock and Roll, Midnight Express, the Heavenly Bodies, Tracy.
Yeah.
Cornette himself. There was a lot of guys to learn from there, and that was the one of the values of the old territories. You know, is you had all these guys to absorb what they were doing and what they had where they had come from.
Yeah, I mean, you had guys from all over the country, all over the world, there in that territory, and if you didn't learn, you were an idiot. I mean, I hate to use that term, but if you couldn't learn from what was around you, you didn't have a place in this business because it was just the locker room was a encyclopedia. It was a who's who of who's been where and who's done what. And so much knowledge, so much ring time. There was more shower time than I had ring time till this day in that locker room, you know. Just being a part of that made me feel special, and then learn from it made me feel it better.
Question from the chat room. They want to know who your absolute favorite in-ring partner is.
That in terms of working with or against?
I would say with.
Wow. That's a tough one because there's been so many. And everyone has different things. In terms of a technical guy, it's AJ. In terms of being next to somebody with power, it's Mark Henry. In terms of charisma, it's The Rock. In terms of, sheer manhood, it's Ron Simmons. I couldn't even begin to pick one. I just have to...
Many different situations.
Yeah, if I picked one, I'd offend five or six others. So,
and yeah.
I don't want to offend Ron Simmons in any way.
I got to ask before we run out of here, and Les is going to kick me for this, but have you gotten your PlayStation 3 yet?
I have not got a PlayStation 3 yet, but I'm contemplating going to get one.
Don't
very
feel
soon.
Bad. I don't either.
If you're still rocking the 2D low, get the Godfather.
Okay.
The Godfather.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right.
Do you have a MySpace account?
No, I don't. But if you can hit me at dbrown@springfieldstallions.com. That's where I get all my email and stuff like that at. I gotta get up in times and create a MySpace. I really do.
Yeah, everybody seems to have one anymore.
Everyone tells me I need to do it, and I'm just lazy. I'll be honest. I'm not gonna lie.
I gotta ask you one more question. Now, since you are now the co-owner of the Springfield Stallions, are all the cheerleaders gonna be redheads?
No.
Okay. I was just checking.
I intentionally have nothing to do with the cheerleaders.
Well, if you need somebody to come in and scout for you.
I will intentionally stay as far away from those girls as possible.
If you need someone to scout for you, you can call good old Doc.
Well, Doc, you can do the dirty work, and I'll sit back and live vicariously.
Excellent. D-Lo, I want to thank you for being on the show. Say hello to everybody for me.
I will.
Be my best to the family. God love you, my friend.
I love you. Anytime you guys need me, you know how to get a hold of me. Please call me anytime.
Yep.
Absolutely.
If you're in the area, man, drop in. You know the door is always open.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
D'Lo Brown, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. Going to take a break. When we come back, former WWE writer Irish Pete Doyle is going to be with us for Hot Topic. The Hot Topic of the Week is, of course, last night's Raw. We're going to get into that a little bit. Also on the way, a little TNA talk that Les and I are going to have about an email that we got this week. Also, Cody Michaels from Wrestling Society X is going to be here. Stick around. You're listening to Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher here on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That's stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you at Wrestling Weekly. Coming up a little bit later in the show from Wrestling Society X, Cody Michaels is going to be here right now. It's time for our Hot Topic. Joining us after a brief hiatus, former WWE writer Irish Pete Doyle is with us. Irish Pete, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me back. You know, my suspension is over.
Yes. And I'll have to remind you never to speak like that again.
Yeah, don't forget to send your check.
Yeah.
Yeah, am I fine?
Yes.
I'm fine. I'm the Terrell Owens of Wrestling Week.
You spoke out against management. You are in trouble.
That's all I did.
Pretty soon we're going to have to, you know, implement something where we suspend them. But they still have to work, but they just don't get paid.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, come on.
The WWE policy.
Sounds too much like a wrestling business.
No, but Pete, seriously, it's good to have you back, and I'm glad we got back in touch with you. And it's good to have you back in the Hot Topic rotation, so to speak.
Yeah, it's great to be back. I missed you guys so much.
What are you up to lately over there? You're out in California.
Yeah, not much, actually. Working and my website, which has not been updated in over a year, is going to be revamped here at the end of this month, hopefully.
That sounds like my website that Doc takes care of.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Is he related to a webmaster that I have?
I've got pictures from the Cauliflower Alley convention last June that I'm waiting to see posted. But hey, you know, listen, I plan to live to be 100, so it, you know, anytime in the next 50 years, it'll work.
Okay.
That's a whole other show, fellas.
maybe he's planning to update the website after he called me to come back to the show.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
That's something like that. Yeah. Anyway, what's the hot topic there, Pete?
Well, I guess, you know, we could talk about WWE right now and Raw and the Rumble and, you know, how it steamrolls right after the Rumble all the way to Mania. Although somehow it stops after Mania for some reason. But let's not go there.
I think it stops before Mania. I think it's kind of easy to see who is going to, you know, take on who and what might happen in the meantime. But as far as who's going to win, I mean, I'm still guessing. My guess is, you know, as good as anybody else's right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, the build-up is always great. You know, all the way up to the last Raw or last show before Mania, it's always good. I mean, last night's Raw, I only saw half. I taped the other half. I'm still on VHS tapes. I'm not up to the TiVo part yet.
Me neither. And then, don't worry.
Yeah, and then last week's Raw I thought was very good after the Rumble. I mean, you know, just really good. It seems like they're going back to where they were in the Attitude days where, you know, it's more suspenseful. You really don't know what's going to happen.
Back to professional wrestling.
Yes.
It
makes you smile, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, yeah, the sports entertainment is looking a lot like wrestling, yeah.
Now, well, you know, honestly, Pete, Doc had said before we went on the air, he was saying, you know, it makes sense. I said that. I've been trying to tell you that if it makes sense, it's more meaningful, and it is more, honestly becomes more entertaining than all the sophomoric comedy nonsense. And I think at some point the business, it'll never evolve completely in full circle, but, you know, it evolves back to what the basics are at some point. Al Snow always said, no matter if it's 1907 or 2007, it's always going to be wrestling, and I hope he's a visionary, because I see some things going on in parts of the other companies and stuff that aren't actually, don't have anything to do with wrestling, but I think these guys have gone back to where, I told Doc, watching the opening last night, I thought, now I won't say it was suspenseful, but it kept your interest, and I was watching the clock every 14, 15 minutes in before they finished the segment, but it wasn't like, oh my God, you know, let's hurry up and get through this,
right?
Because they layered it to where they perked your interest until Undertaker finally picked his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
There were some notes. I made little mental notes about some things, little tiny things that went on during Raw last night.
There's a major
mental notes.
Upheaval,
yes.
Oh yes, that you made mental.
But no, there, for one thing, I don't know if you caught this part, Les, but Carlito had come out with what's her name? Pete.
What's her name?
isn't that terrible?
You're talking about Tori Wilson.
Tori Wilson. Carlito and Tori's hanging around, and Carlito loses his match. And, you know, he's like, no big deal. He's getting ready to leave. You know, go out on the town with Tori, and here comes Ric Flair. And he's like, you know, there's a big main event coming up. It's going to be a triple threat match. We're going to find out who's going to WrestleMania, and you're going to leave? And he's like, you know, people like you make me sick. And it's people like you who don't care. All you care about is flash, and you want to look good, and you got a good-looking girl on your arm, and you don't even care about wrestling. And I was like, Flair. Now, this is something that Flair would, in my opinion,
personally would not say, because it's like looking in the mirror and saying it. only I would say, from a wrestler's point of view, he's making a point.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've heard, you know, here again, I know Carlito's dad. I've worked for his dad, worked with his dad. I don't know Carlito, at all.
Right.
But I have heard that, his work ethic runs hot and cold. Maybe this was the company's way of taking a shot at him. I don't know. I was never overly excited when he started getting a push anyway, because I didn't see that he was the guy that should be.
He was charismatic, but.
I don't understand. If you win Tori Wilson with a funny haircut, I want to get one.
I can see you wearing that too.
Yeah, you can, sure.
Another one though. John Cena comes in a locker room before the triple threat match. Shawn Michaels is there. Shawn's like, yes, I know. And this is something where you like, I know what's coming, but it doesn't. You know. Shawn's like, yeah, I know. You came in and wished me good luck. You know that if we went to WrestleMania, we'd do a great match and blah, 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 and you respect me and all this. He's like, no, I don't want you to win. I want Edge to win, because I know I could beat Edge. I'll have a field day with Edge. I don't want you to win. Then he walks off. I was like, wow.
Well, now, ask Pete if you were writing this, it does not make more sense, especially for the babyface, to build his opponent up.
Oh yeah, that's the worst line I have ever heard. I mean, I would have said, you know what? I don't know who it's going to be, but either way, I'm going to WrestleMania. I know my competition is going to be whatever.
Yeah,
it's going to be a tough match, but I'm going to be going to try and get all three of you down to hurt you before Mania, because I know that you guys are a threat to my title. Otherwise, what's the point of having Edge in the match?
The point is, they knew Edge wasn't going to win. It was sort of putting over.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
What do you mean? What are you trying to say? It's all planned or something?
You mean this is not a shoot?
No.
Oh, damn.
I hate to tell you guys.
Next, you're going to say there's no Santa Claus.
But what I'm trying to say is that did kind of put over Sean. I don't want you to win, Sean, because
you shouldn't put somebody over. You shouldn't put a main event guy over at the expense of another main event guy. That's not how you build. You need 4 to 5 big main event guys to look good. If you bury your main event guys, then you have SmackDown. I'm not trying to be bad or mean or anything, but come on, you know, the only guy worthy of carrying the title over in SmackDown right now, in my opinion, is, you know, is Kennedy or Taker, you know.
Mm-hmm. A guy named Benoit.
Oh, sorry. My apologies. You are absolutely right.
Well, you better apologize, or you will be back on the show for another 6 months.
Wow, I thought it was going to be 12, but okay, I'll take 6.
When it comes down to just between the ropes, technical. Kennedy's got more personality than Chris, but he ain't even in Chris's leg when it comes.
Oh no, definitely not.
I don't know. I admit the whole thing was at the expense of Edge, but
you can't do that. You cannot do that, and that's the part of the problem with WWE is. I believe in punishing guys. If they're not going by the rules of the company, the rules of the business, mm-hmm. where you're supposed to stay, you should stay. I don't care who you are, whether you're Triple H who actually does stay, or whether you're the guy working a dark match. You don't leave the arena until the show's over. And I think they're trying to make a point there because some of the younger guys do. And when I was there, some of the younger guys did that and they got heat for it.
Yeah.
So I believe in punishing guys for this. If they want to call out Carlito on TV and do that, that's fine. He's not a main event player yet. So when he does become a main event player, nobody's going to remember that. But for somebody who you have headlining your pay-per-views for the last year, mm-hmm. who's been champ twice in the last 2 years or whatever it's been, who, you know, you kind of really are building a company around the last couple of years, you know, one of the main players, you know, you should not go out there and bury him like that because you're making everything that's just happened in the last 6 months look like crap.
Yeah, I mean, the way he said it didn't really strike me like that. It just sort of was like, you know, he's already beaten Edge.
Well, you know what? I think, too, it depends on the person and the situation. Now, when he came out after the deal with Umaga and said, I got to tell you, last night I had my ass kicked for 30 minutes or whatever the time, you know, whatever he said in terms of time, I think that did more to get him over because Cena has that, you know, well, he's that, what I call the Elvis syndrome. You know, when I was a teenager and Elvis was just getting red hot, all the little boys hated Elvis because their girlfriends loved him, right?
Right.
And Cena has that same situation. So I think what that particular line did more to get him over the males of the species than, you know, simply because he's willing to admit that somebody, you know, took him to the, you know, took him to down to the wire, but didn't beat him.
Right.
And from what I hear, I've never seen one, but Elvis's movies suck too.
Pete, he's on tonight. Pete is on tonight.
He's at the pub. He's up at the, he's got one foot on that.
He's saving this stuff up for 6 months.
I know, Irish Pete Doyle, guys, 2 shows a night. The 12:30 show is completely different from the 10:30 show.
I want to see. Have you seen the movie, Pete?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. I want to see it just because it's John. I mean, because I know John, and to me, that's cool.
And don't get me wrong, I love John. We trained him out here, you know.
Yeah.
And I got to know the guy, and he's probably one of the nicest guys. I'm not
really
just saying this that I've ever met.
Yeah, he's not pretentious in the least.
Oh no, jeez, he's the most humble person. Yeah, he really is. But yeah, but, you know, I still think, you know, that maybe the line should have been, you know, I've already beaten Edge so many times, you know, but he's never lost at WrestleMania.
Did you see that part, Pete?
No.
To see exactly what he said, because I might have put it wrong, but the way it came off to me was, yes, I've already beaten Edge 3 times or whatever. I can beat him again. Now you I'm worried about. That's just sort of how it came off to me.
Well, you know, though, as a face with a title going into WrestleMania, those guys should be coming to him and making him concerned, making him feel the heat, making him because I believe in going into Mania where the heel has the title and the face is chasing it, and they haven't done that. In how many years?
That's always everybody says, well, that's old school, but it's more intriguing than it is once the baby faces climb the mountain and overcome the hurdles, then you've had your orgasm, so to speak, and there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then you're buying a pay-per-view to see if he keeps it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then he loses it. It's like you feel cheated.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, but at least you're buying a pay-per-view because you're gunning for this guy to get it. You know, you want him to get it. You want to see him get it. You know,
a couple
that's why Hogan's...
A couple things that were surprising to me last night. Super Crazy winning. Mickey winning right after that. That just buried Molina and Nitro, sort of.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No, I think... Go ahead, Pete.
I think, you know, it depends where you're going with this. You're going to obviously have the tag match, and then you're going to obviously have, you know, maybe some... I don't know if the Hardys thing is over or not, but, you know, then you go to pay-per-view, and then you have some kind of... you know, crazy match where, you know, you get your heat back on the pay-per-view, you
right.
know, and then it's all forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nitro has come a long way in the last
year,
man. In terms of it, what he does in ring. He wasn't talented at all when they first brought him up. He was in over his head, but I think he's come a long way.
Yeah.
And I was surprised at him looking at the lights last night, too, quite frankly. But, again, you know, a little misdirection never hurt anybody.
Yes.
Oh, I think that's what makes what's making the shows even better now is because you didn't expect it. And you're like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
I miss those days.
That's what's going to make the viewership.
I miss those days.
Well, you know what?
Exactly.
The guys that just won the Super Bowl on Sunday actually lost some games during the season. They weren't undefeated.
Right.
Exactly.
And I think in matches where, you know, I mean, to me, that's part of our business is misdirection and keeping people in suspense and multi-layered things, and I think that's what's been missing over the last 18 months or 2 years is it's too much on the fly. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the next 15 minutes, never mind the next 15 days.
I totally agree. And I think part of it, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, Les, but I think part of it has to do with the rising, should I say, of MMA. Because if I think they're taking notes from there, you know, not to say that they have to, but MMA is more action.
Yeah.
And with MMA, you never know who's going to win.
Now, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned Doc. I said the Liddell-Ortiz match set a pay-per-view record for anything of that genre, meaning MMA, boxing, or professional wrestling. And they did it without a bare breast, without a gay wedding. With just serious athletic competition and the nice build-ups I loved. Now, I'll tell you what really got me into it is the one-hour specials like they ran on these guys, showing their background and giving them more of a, you know, the character of more than one side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and a little bit of their personal lives, and it got me more interested. But I said to Doc, too, what they're doing is what we did in 1960 or 1970 to build up to a title match.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, and
exactly.
Yes, I think it's time to back up a little bit and get rid of some of the sophomoric comedy and move on to, you know, to what built the business to start with.
Exactly. I totally agree. And you know, that's part of it is that they need to start keeping guys away from each other, you know.
Yeah.
That helps more than anything.
Yeah, and you can't take two guys. I mean, if it's Flair and Steamboat in the same building, well, I shouldn't say the same, but on the same show week after, they are only good for so long.
Mm-hmm.
They're two great workers like that. And you can't, so, and today we're in a position where in terms of depth of roster of actually in-ring talent, the business is in bad shape. And so you've got to be careful how quickly you dilute the stigma that can Pete beat Les or can Les beat Pete, because if we can only have a different match so many times, and then it's like, well, we've seen this.
Right.
Right. Oh, yeah. Totally.
I'd love to
see a part where, you know, they keep the guys away from each other, and then they say on Raw, like, you know, well, Cena, you're only allowed here for the first half of the show, and then they get him out of here, like, you know, and the pass across each other, the limos pull in, one pulls out, and they, you know, they want to get at each other, and security's keeping them back, and one's leaving the arena, and one's just showing up, and you know, they got to do stuff where they're almost getting to each other, but they're not.
Right.
Not just
well,
making.
You know, and I think something that would be more meaningful now too is, you know, we utilized the thing back in the day is you only have to defend your title once every 30 days.
Right.
And now at the whim of the janitor, hey, you got your belt on the line against so and so tonight. Okay. Why am I buying a $40 championship match when I just saw three of them for free?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly.
You know, it takes away from the value.
We got to get to our next segment, guys, but
Pete and I don't get to talk often, Doc.
I know.
So you go on to the next segment. We're going to hang out here.
I was going to say is I think we should keep Pete on for this and get his opinions on this.
What is this?
This was sent to myself and Les by a man from Germany who was visiting the United States, and he went to a TNA show and described pretty much how it was like at a TNA taping.
Was it in English or German?
What was that?
Never mind.
that just went right over my head. Anyway, here's the letter. This was addressed to Les, and I'm going to read this.
You can talk, Les.
It said, I was visiting some friends in Florida, and I thought about attending the show. I'm not a TNA fan. I'm a fan of some of the guys, but I think I don't need to tell you about the negatives of the promotion. First of all, it's a real task to get into the building, he says. After they'd opened the doors, some so-called VIPs, mostly family and friends of the workers, were let in first, followed by members of the TNA street team. The handicapped people were next, all accompanied by at least three or four people. More than half the arena was already full. After that, they let in the normal Universal Studios visitors, for whom TMA is just another attraction. Finally, the real fans were able to get some tickets. He says the whole system is a joke. No wonder the crowd heat isn't that exciting. Before the pre-show started, some TNA guys were running around giving out signs to fans. Yes, at least 80% of the signs are made by TNA.
Let me stop you there real quick, and I mentioned to him that that's not isolated to just TNA, because I don't know if they still do, but WWE in the past has passed out their own signs as well. So it's sadly enough, it's game show more than it is actually crowd reaction. Go ahead.
Right. In parentheses, he says, the funny thing is the same guys were collecting the signs after the show, only to give them out again the next day. SoCal Val was greeting the fans, and she was totally happy to see some signs for her. She thanked the fans personally, even though these signs were made by TNA. Speaking of signs, one fan had a sign that said, this match deserves more airtime, but security confiscated it very fast. Nothing better than freedom of speech. There's a fan in the first rows who could be seen on every TV. He's always waving some towels. One fan had a sign that said, towel swinging is gay, and security came running by. They did some pre-tape stuff with Christy Hemme, and believe me, she isn't ready for an Oscar yet. Most of the segments
which
were done...
Which upsets you.
...were done three times. Yes, I'm gonna have to email him back about that. This baseball guy, AJ whatever, baseball isn't very big in Germany, he says, but we're talking about AJ Perinsky.
Right.
Was only brought to a seat for his segment. Afterwards, he looked like he wanted to get out as fast as possible. He watched the rest of the show from the LAX entrance. Russo was also watching the show from there.
The heel?
Yeah, Przinsky. Well, yeah, is Przinsky the... Yeah, no. Yeah, he's the heel. He and Torberg are the heels against the Cardinals baseball player who's going to be in the corner of... boy, I'm losing it.
Eklund.
Who is it?
David Eklund?
No. No, yeah, but he's going to be in... what's the wrestler's name?
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch TV.
Doc. Hello,
you,
Doc.
You got me.
Well, see, there's the other thing. To me, real quickly here, when Trump shows up, at least he and Vince are going to have guys in their corner that are being pushed.
Right.
I mean, they're going to be in the corner of guys who are being pushed.
Right.
Yeah. And
they are not the stars.
No. And so anyway.
Yeah. That's.
And another side note is to realize. Now, this young man came all the way from Germany, so a lot of this stuff, I mean, I was aware of anyway.
Right.
You know, but it was, I guess, a cultural shock to him, and I totally understand, because he, as a wrestling fan, and to me, you know, if you came from Germany, Istanbul, or wherever, and I was aware of that, I'm going to see that you get in, you know, before the last guy comes to the door. But for him, I guess, in watching this on TV and then seeing it behind the scenes, he didn't realize just, you know, what it was or wasn't, for that matter.
Right.
But then he goes ahead and tells you about the canned crowd noise, which,
yes,
again, is not foreign to other companies as well.
Yeah, he said the crowd heat is strange as well. Nobody was watching the dark match. The pre-show was boring. None of the backstage segments are shown to the crowd. When Boris started the countdown, the crowd was getting excited and started to scream like a Pavlov dog at the count of zero. The whole crowd is working the show as well, he says.
Yes.
Every chant is started by members of the street team. The whole atmosphere is nothing like a real-life crowd. It's more like a laugh track on a comedy TV show. Pete.
We done? Hans? Okay.
Had something to say.
All right, if you're done, you're done. Well, you know, I think this is, he's being picky because he's never been probably around a business.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in a nation where to, you know, I'm sure how they do things in Germany, because they do have some independence over there. It's completely different because it's totally different culture, totally different way of life, a way of doing business. This is exactly what WCW used to do.
Yeah.
And you do that until you start turning the profit to where you can go to bigger arenas, to where you're only applying your craft to wrestling fans.
Right.
You know,
now they're applying this to families who are just there on a day trip, and they're like, oh, we'll check out some wrestling.
One of my problems is with the whole situation, and I've said this before, is that the crowd is there to entertain themselves as being part. They consider themselves part of the show. I don't really judge the value of a guy in the ring or what he's doing in there on what I hear from the crowd because it's so superficial anymore.
Right.
You know, because they know to chant this for this guy and this for the other guy, and it's just like, well, it's like, let's make a deal or something like that, you know, and they overreact to things because they realize the louder they are, the more apt they're going to get in next week. And, you know, or get on, if they've got a goofy sign or if a goofy costume, they're going to get on camera.
Right.
And that becomes, you know, at this independent level, HWA, my old company, has, in fact, they're taping tonight if everybody can get through the 7 inches of snow. You know, but they're on the America One satellite, but they're also on the CW station here in town. And I've told them, I said, you know, and this is no offense to the people that come to the show in terms of are they bad people. But they've got basically the same crowd that come to socialize with one another, and sometimes you wonder if they're even paying attention to the matches. You know, because hey, Doc, you and Pete going to be at the HWA taping? Yeah, well, hey, I'll see you there. That's cool. And then we'll get into talking about, well, the Super Bowl was last Sunday or whatever. And plus, they've seen these same wrestlers, and you've got to realize the guys at this level aren't necessarily, you know, I mean, they're still trying to get there. They're not the top-level guys, so they don't and the other part of that is that doesn't give them opportunity to try to work a crowd because the crowd isn't workable to a certain degree, and I think that's the problem at every level of the business now. You can't really judge a talent in the ring by what you're listening to from the audience.
Mm-hmm. He also made mention that there was a loud Sting's a Bully chant during the TV segment.
I heard that, when
he pointed the bat at Abyss. And he said that they had cut it out on TV.
And, you know, there's another thing, too. Back in the day, you played off of what the crowd, I mean, let me say this. You didn't let them dictate, although that does happen today. But you sensed what they were doing, and you tried to build off of it, you know. And mm-hmm. back then, if that would have happened on a show that I was hosting or was co-hosting, then we knew the crowd was going to hear it. You tried to neutralize it as best you could, you know, like, you know, in whatever way, but you didn't just totally disregard it and throw in a different soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, again, the art of the work went more than just the boys. It went with the commentators and everybody else, but there again, so many things are so canned and, you know, it's like this, and I know WWE does it well. Okay, Pete, you were in your hometown, and you've been a heel on our TV, and you've shot my mother and kicked my dog and stole my car, but tonight you're going to be a babyface. No, you're not. Not on my promotion, you're not. You're
right.
A damn heel. You're going to be a heel. I don't give a damn whose hometown it is.
Right.
And if you actually know your business, you're going out there and make yourself a heel.
Yeah.
You know?
I just want to apologize for stealing your car, too.
Thank you.
And trying to run him over with it.
But you get my point, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, no, totally. I totally agree with everything there. I mean, you know...
Yeah, that's part of the talent. And when the writers take that talent away from the wrestlers, then you can't be sure if they have the talent or if they obviously aren't able to develop it if they aren't given the opportunity.
Yeah, I think the point is that you can watch a show on TV... And you can be at the exact same show live, and you can have a totally different experience.
Oh, sure, sure.
Completely different.
I think
that's the point of the whole thing.
You know,
I think now, I'm sorry, let's go ahead.
No, I was going to say a young man, a friend of our family, a few years ago, asked me to get him tickets for a WWE house show here. He and his buddy and their girlfriends, and I did. And so I saw him, a few days later, and I said, "Well, how was the show?" And he said, "Well, you know, there was no pyro and none of this." And I looked, and then I realized he'd never seen anything besides television.
Right.
So to him, a show was pyro and all, you know, all the glitz and glamour.
Mm-hmm.
And what I grew up with was a wrestling show was a wrestling show. And so he was expecting, oh, you mean this? Well, I'm not really interested because there's no fireworks, you know, in the whole nine yards. So we've kind of created our own hell in several ways, and it makes it tough for us to draw because of it.
Well, that's the kind of thing, you know, that's the kind of whole same philosophy when you're talking to the younger guys is, you know, they want to do all these flips and stuff. Well, you keep doing those flips and people are going to get tired of it and they want to see, you know, the next big thing and you're going to end up killing yourself.
Sure, exactly.
It's the same thing with shows. You know, you keep putting on these big spectaculars and it's going to get overkill and then they're going to want something else. They're going to want, you know, people dropping in from space and stuff. You know?
Right. Well, I mean, what are you going to do to top it in 5 years?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's it. You can only play Can You Top This to a certain point, and then you can't, whoever you happen to be.
Right.
And you become stagnant at that point. So it's the old saying that I was taught over 40 years ago. Hey, kid, you go to a strip club, you don't see the dancers come out naked, put their clothes back on. There's nothing left to anticipate.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
And I think that's part of something that people need to realize is, you know, WCW did it when Turner first bought them, and TNA is doing it now, but they have to go to places like these theme parks where, you know, there's a deal made where, you know, the arena's paid for already.
Sure.
You know, you just got to bring people in and entertain them, and you still get paid, because people don't understand, you know, the price of an arena these days, insurance, everything else to go with it, you know, it's just, you could not start a promotion. I don't care who the investor is, you have that budget set in place for the first 5 years of your company. It's what you got to do.
Right.
Now, I don't agree with all the rules as far as signs and you know, some other stuff, but it's what's got to be done if you want to make a name for yourself, and that's what they're doing. And soon enough, you know, they'll be out of there, and that's just the crawling years, you know, and they'll be up and running, and, you know, it'll all be forgotten about, you know.
Right.
Absolutely. Pete, we got to get going. We appreciate you coming back, and hopefully you'll be back in a few weeks.
Well, you know, write my number down. I'll give you my number.
I have
714. I'll give my number out in the air. 714-504-6310.
Pete, I'm gonna tell on him. He emailed me. He said, "Why? I lost Pete's email." And I said, "Well, here it is." And I gave it to him. I thought, "Is this all you've been waiting on?"
Wow.
No, it wasn't just that. It was, and then I did. That was it at first, and then I did give him a few calls that did not get returned.
You know, you did leave me one message, and I do take fault for not returning it.
Okay.
But when you call me at 2 in the morning and leave me a message,
never.
You call me at 2 in the morning saying, "I'm lonely, I miss you,
oh,
you're my teddy bear."
I refuse to take those calls. I see it on the call ID, Pete. I just don't answer.
This is turning into not the show I was hoping it would be.
Hey, you
should contact Dana White for that gay wedding that Les was talking about.
You're a producer here, Doc.
All right. We're going to take a break, guys. Pete, I want to thank you for being on, like I said, and we'll see you again in a few weeks.
Welcome back.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. It was good to talk to you guys again. I miss you guys, and hopefully talk to you again soon.
All right,
you
buddy.
Too, brother.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Irish Pete Doyle, former WWE writer here for Hot Topic. Yes, he's in our Hot Topics segment rotation once again here on Wrestling Weekly. When we come back, we've got our featured guest from Wrestling Society X, Cody Michaels, is going to be here. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back, guys, after this.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Hi, my name's Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $295 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Welcome back to Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you. On the line right now, our featured guest. He is a backstage agent over at Wrestling Society X and a heck of a wrestler in his own right. Cody Michaels is on the program tonight. Cody, thanks for being with us.
Guys, I really appreciate it.
Hey, Doc, let me touch on something here about Cody, too. Just so everybody thinks he's just not just showed up with Wrestling Society X. He broke in some very storied company with Dom DiNucci up at Pittsburgh, some clown named Shane Douglas, and another fly-by-nighter named Mick Foley, and God rest our late great friend Mark Curtis. So he's been around a while, and so now he's riding a whole different horse, aren't you, Cody?
Totally different horse.
First thing I'm going to bust your chops on here. And if you come and tell me how this is the next great thing, I've got to pull the phone away from my ear because your Pinocchio nose will come through and drive into my ear.
Come on, Les.
I watched tonight's show last Friday.
Okay.
And when the announcer said that Human Tornado had steel balls, I said what my friend Booker T said. I can't believe he said that. I DVR read it back, and yes, he did. And I said, okay, now I can move on to the next match because you have lost any credibility with me here. And I thought, well, you know, back in the day, had Harley kicked him there and he didn't sell the first one, I would have bet my mortgage on the house he'd have sold the second one as he puked on his way to the floor. And to me, Cody, that's the thing. I told Doc, I said, you know, I see some great athletes here. In a half-hour format, this 100-mile-an-hour thing, I can live with. I couldn't live with it in two. But when they throw something like that out, they have lost me completely because that's too hokey.
Well, I understand that, and that's, you know, from an old school psychology mentality, which, you know, really that's where I'm coming from too. You know, that I can see. You know, it's something that I didn't write in there.
I know.
And if you ask a lot of the guys, you know, I'm the one along with Vampiro who is very instrumental in this project. You know, when we go through the matches with the guys and talk to them, it's always selling, selling, selling. You know, and they look at us and say, well, we don't have time to do that.
Well, make time. You know, that was the thing about this show, the second show, was that Vamp and Sean slowed things down.
Yes.
And were able to tell. And I don't give a damn what the, you know, what demographic they're trying to sell to. The story is still a story, and if you try to read to me out of a book, the guy that used to do the FedEx commercial, blah, 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 I don't get it then either.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And there's an interesting story, too, when we had a title match between Ricky Banderas and Vampiro in a later taping. And, the match, in my opinion, was incredible. And we'd given it 10 minutes. you know, and Vamp said, you know, what should I do? We're kicking ideas back and forth, and we both, you know, had talked to each other saying what we'd like to do isn't really what we could do.
Right.
So, you know, Vamp being the great company guy and being the man out and ahead of this, went 24 minutes in his 10-minute time limit match. But I loved it. It was, yeah, you know, it was an incredible work. Now, unfortunately, that whole 20 minutes can't be shown on television.
Right.
But we do have guys in the company there that are doing that. And I really look at it as, and I told the guys this, you know, Vamp and myself, every day we got there, we would talk to the guys. And it was such an incredible locker room. And that, you know, that I will put over as the next best thing is the locker room of guys. Because it really, it's their attitudes, very professional. And you know, Les, when you go from an independent background where you've wrestled at the gymnasiums around, you know, a lot of those guys didn't buy into what we were doing.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of guys believed what we were doing. You know, and when they had got there, they said, okay, we're at a studio. And they actually showed up. I was like, okay, wow. And there was just that progression over the 2 weeks that it was like, wow, this is really happening. It's things we've talked about, I mean, forever. You know, having a national company put millions of dollars behind you, relative unknowns, and put you on the face of television, you know, is something that young guys dream of. They dream about it, always. And it's something that we were able to do. You know, so that aspect, you know, I will put over. But we sat there to these guys, and we talked to them all the time about, you know, what we're trying to do here, and about it's a new paradigm. It's a different way to look at it. We know we're going to get shit on by a certain population of people. We know that going in. But what MTV wanted and what the vision was to establish a new fan base,
right,
to try to do that. And that's, you know, be it right or wrong, it's you know, it's the format, it's the stage and the platform that we're given. So we have to kind of roll with that. And
right,
that's what we did. And I, like you said, I know things, you know, a lot of things on there I wouldn't write.
Yeah.
A lot of things on there I would, you know, look at and take it for what it is. But you know what? At the end of the day, somebody's paying the bills. Somebody wants certain things on with a certain amount of sizzle.
Yes.
And you do it.
You know what? I said to Doc earlier in the show, I said, sadly enough, MTV, you know, this is like, if I invest in a pharmaceutical company, are they going to allow me to tell them what kind of formulas they have? They absolutely are not. I don't give a damn if I own 51% of the company. However, for whatever the reason is, Spike TV has invested in TNA, and so they are dictating to a certain degree this is what they want to see, and they have no clue what the hell they're talking about.
Yes.
And I'll say what you can say. MTV should go ahead and produce Jackass and leave wrestling to people who know wrestling.
That, yeah, that is, in all fairness, too, they do leave a lot to us.
Yes.
You know, but our hands are really tied with time constraints. You know, in a half-hour show,
I know that. Yes.
You know, the amount of content. So, you know, when people say, you know, there's not enough selling, or, you know, and my big thing with wrestling and wrestlers today, independent guys, is they're weak on transitions. The transitions between the moves,
yeah,
the storytelling on how to get there, I think a lot of them are weak on that. Not that they're not talented, they just haven't had the opportunity to do it. You know, unless you know this better than anybody, no one in this business, and I shouldn't say no one, very few have ever taken guys under their wings and passed the torch.
You're right.
It hasn't happened. You know, when you get into a territory in the old territorial days, that's all that happened. You know, I was blessed, and I mean, I was truly blessed to be around guys like Mick Foley and Brian Hildebrand and Shane Douglas, and I'll take it a step further than that, too. You know, when I went down to Memphis, guys like Eddie Gilbert, Jerry Lawler, you know, guys that, you know, for one way or the other have you know, or looked upon differently in his business. I'll tell you what, Jerry Lawler in the ring, psychology, thought process, is excellent to learn from.
Yes.
I mean, he really is. And guys like that, it's not around today. You know, we're getting guys into territories and bringing them up, you know, the quote-unquote big show in not enough time, and they don't have the input from someone such as yourself to take time with them and to teach them that. And that's what's needed.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I realized in a half hour before, you know, we had Kevin on a couple weeks ago, or last week it was, and you know, I said the same, you know, in the time frame you've got, you've got very little time to do anything. And I realized, yeah, it's basically you have to stuff 10 pounds into a 5-pound bag.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's to tell his story properly. Well, here it comes down to the guy, Waltman,
yes.
Vampiro, who are experienced.
Yes.
To be able to squeeze that. You know, it's like when I work with kids over at HWA, and I'll say, okay, we're going to put together a story in a six-minute TV match, and they look at me like I'm nuts. and how do you do that? I said, well, you take a 60-minute story or a 30-minute story, and you condense it to 6 minutes, but it still has a beginning and a middle and an end.
Exactly.
It's not just every goofy high spot you can possibly do in 6 minutes, because it means nothing.
Exactly. And that's where, you know, a lot of the criticism I saw from the first episode, which was actually the pilot we shot, you know, over a year ago, was, you know, hey, there's no storylines here. And it's almost like the people, you know, that very first episode wanted to be spoon-fed everything.
Yes.
Without the realization, hey, we shot this thing, not even a clue as to if we were going to do anything after that. So it was MTV wanted a certain amount of sizzle, throw stuff at us as quick as you can, and make us like. That was the only thing
yeah.
we were trying to do there.
Uh-huh.
Now when they said, okay, we're going to go to series and shoot 10 more, then it was, okay, let's really sit down. How much can we squeeze into that 19
right.
and a half minutes?
I'll tell you the things I do like. I like the way the little picture frame is put around the guy as he comes to the ring.
Yes.
You know, telling a little background, feed me a little background. I think the vignettes introducing guys, rather than having 10 guys running out grabbing a microphone and trying to babble
yes.
And squeeze in, it makes more sense, because that does fit into the time slot. Well, that would fit into a time slot of 2 hours or 1 hour better.
Definitely.
You know, than everybody just running out and taking a turn at the microphone. The one thing that does, you know, a couple of the young, I've had several young guys tell me, and I was teasing Doc at the beginning of this thing, the first interpromotional match I want to see between WWE and Wrestling Society X is The Miz from WWE against your ring announcer and the loser never to be on my friggin' television ever again, and I want him drug tested. I want to know how many pounds of crack he's doing before. And Doc said, I said, listen, somebody needs to tell the idiot that the ring announcer is not the show. He introduces it.
I'll tell you what, that's Smiley. If you would know him off, you know, away from that setting,
yeah,
totally opposite.
Yeah.
Totally opposite.
He would have to be, or I'd kick him. Tornado doesn't sell. If he tried to have a conversation with me at that level, I'd say, I'm going to kill you. Just get away from me.
He does it, and actually, when you sit down and talk to him, I mean, he actually has a good mind for the business. He really does, and that's Liz's boyfriend.
Yeah, I know. She told us that. Right.
Speaking
of Liz.
Here we go.
A woman, hey?
Come on, Alfalfa. Well,
I said you were backstage with an old friend of mine. Yeah, I said, Cody Michaels. Yeah, he's a nice guy, but he doesn't like women in wrestling.
And she didn't bury me. Wow.
No, not at all.
What's funny, because, you know, working, when I was doing some things with XPW years ago, when I'd met Smiley, and they brought Liz in for a little while, met her there, you know, and the reason that we didn't hit it off well is because she wanted me from the beginning, and she had to settle for Smiley. That's the real reason. I'm kidding. It was a joke. Hopefully my wife's not listening either. No, it's a preference, and I, you know, and there was that animosity, honestly, when I got to the tapings, you know, with Liz, and it wasn't until at the end of the 2 weeks I sat down with her and I sat down with Ryan, and she said, "Well, you don't like me." And I said, "No, hold on, where did you get that from?" She said, "Well, you don't like women wrestling." I said, "Well, let me explain something to you. I like you. It has nothing to do with you, and it's a preference. You know, it is. Some people like hockey. I'm a big baseball fan. I love football." Some people don't like baseball. That's all it is. It's a preference. I just do not, you know, would not sit there and turn on a women's wrestling match. That's all it is. It's a simple preference. Some people do. Some people like it.
But she looks great in pink, though.
You know, Cody, I will stand up for you. Now, I'm not, if you're having a Divas match, if they just want to put on bathing suits and prance around, I'll look at that. But if they go out there and show that they have no athletic ability, I'm not interested. You give me Betty Boucher against Penny Banner in their prime, or two, you know, Jazz against, I'm trying to think of somebody real off the top of my head. Well, against Molly Holly. They
yes.
can work.
Oh, and I'm, and again, I'm, that is, and that's what I told her, too, and why
yeah.
I used examples like that. I said, sure they can. They have athletic ability. They can work. It's not my preference. That,
yeah.
It's as simple as that. You know, there are people that sit there and, you know, talk about baseball. They can't watch it. It
right.
has nothing to do with the athletes. They just are not into that sport.
Exactly, yes.
And that's all.
See, and now the chat room's going in an uproar. Cody hates Lizzie. Guys, you just heard the man explain it.
You can make your comeback, Cody.
Yeah. Let me fire
Rizzo.
Back.
Yes.
Yeah, come on, feed me a tag here, Lester. Come on.
Doc says, you know, doesn't he like women? I said, well, if he doesn't, his daughter and his wife are going to be pretty upset by that
yeah.
after all.
Well, I like three women, my daughter, my wife, and my mother.
Now Cody is going to go the rest of his
mother-in-law in there.
Oh, yeah, my mother-in-law, yes.
Now, Cody's going to go the rest of his career as the woman hater now.
Oh, I'm telling you. Alfalfa, Spanky, we're the He-Man Woman Haters Club here.
That would make a great gimmick if you ever decide to get in the ring.
Are you guys scheduled to do more tapings in March? Is that the deal?
Well, right now, I haven't been given word as far as when. Tentatively, yes, that's what I was told. And, I'm really, Les, you know this business, and it's funny because I've had this conversation with many people. You know, my wife especially, she said, well, aren't you really excited about this? And I'd say, well, you know, yeah, but she said, well, what's the problem? You don't seem like you are. I said, look, you've been around this business long enough. You know, when I have the plane ticket in my hand, I'll tell you I'm scheduled to go somewhere. When I'm sitting on the plane, I'll tell you I'm there.
Right.
And you know that, Les.
Sure.
You know, and it was, and honestly, until we finished those 2 weeks of taping, I came home, could I say, hey, you know what, they're done. You just don't know in this business.
Right.
You know, we could have gone out there, shot 2 days, and they said, hey, that's it. They could have dropped us right before. There's no guarantees. You never know. So it's kind of a guarded, you know, thing that I'm doing that I'm, believe me, I'm 110% behind this. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else right now.
You don't want to emotionally put all your eggs in one basket.
Well, you know, you really can't. You really can't because I've seen things like this. And I think it's a lot of, with a lot of the guys, too, had, you know, they had guarded, you know, guarded thoughts coming in that, yeah, okay, really, you're calling me about, okay, MTV, sure. Uh-huh, millions of dollars, sure. And they didn't believe it.
Right.
You know, so there was that transition over a period of time when the guys were there. You know, there was that progression that there were changes in their demeanor and their outlook at the project over that 2 week period that, you know, when they finally saw what was going on, you know, a lot of the guys came up to me and said, hey, you know, I didn't believe us at first. Now I can't believe I'm here.
Right.
You know, so I mean, a lot of them were really gracious, and you know, a lot of funny stories came out of those tapings.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Like I say, I know there's some. I'm a Matt Sydal fan, and I saw Josh Ambercovy. Excuse me, his name's not is Jug, whatever the hell.
Jug Webb. Yeah.
Anyway, I saw him work on Doc's show down in Indiana for the first time. I knew the name, and I was impressed with him, and so I'm looking forward to watching him on that
yeah.
in that format. But listen, you know, there's some good athletes and everything, but I think it's just you need to put Kevin on some Valium.
Believe me, he is. If you'd known him before.
and you know, it's just I just think it needs to slow down a bit, and I think that will get a wider demographic. I'm not adverse at my age to turn on MTV. I don't shun any. I'll turn on the women's channel if it's got something it's entertaining and
come on, Les, I know you're a closet, my sweet 16 viewer. I know that.
Yeah. Well, actually, Kelly Clarkson and what's the guy's name? They do that goofy movie. Kelly loves whatever his name was.
Yeah.
His runner up.
Justin to Kelly.
Yeah, my granddaughters watched that, and I thought, oh my God, I've got to sit through this. But anyway, yeah, I'm a closet fan. But seriously, you know. I'm glad to see, you know, I want to see it work for you guys, simply because, you know, I've told people, you know, when I say negative things about it, or my opinion as a person that's been in the business almost half a century, I'm saying this is my opinion from a business standpoint.
Yes.
I said, now, I want to see 10 promotions out there making money because that gives everybody work.
Exactly. And that's what I look at here. And believe me, I value your opinion the same as I value opinions of others in the business. And I've talked to, you know, some other prominent people in offices from both companies that I won't mention names here that, I mean, they're really cheering for this to work. They want to see it work. And feedback from the first episode and a couple of those guys watched the second one, they saw a transition there. They saw a change, of course, because you had the pilot and then episode two, which is coming up this week. So you will see, you know, you will see a slowing down as the 10 weeks go on.
Right.
Now, I can't sit there and tell you it's going to be a Flair Steamboat 60-minute thing, of which I love.
I can teach Tornado to sell.
You know, it's kind of hard to when you kick them there, and you're it's like you're kicking steel-toed shoes with his balls of steel. It hurts your foot, you know.
You know what I said? I've watched all my career. I've watched Afro-Americans that had the hard skull use a headbutt. He's the first that I've seen their genetics basically reversed.
Oh, exactly. It's like Bobo Brazil standing on his head.
but then I got to thinking of back in the day, if he'd have worked with, well, say Harley, who never used a low blow, that wasn't his gig. But if Harley just kicked him and he'd have smiled, the second shot would have put him out.
Well, I'll tell you what, you'll love Colt Cabana.
I love Colt anyway.
I'll tell you, great guy, you know, glad I had the chance to work with him. You know, we have him as, you know, as a character called Matt Classic.
Right.
You know, the consummate, and if you look on WS Extra, there's a promo for him. And it's funny because, I would talk to him before the matches, and I'd say, you know, let's work this move in, let's work that move in. We'd kick ideas back and forth. And when he was doing a match, you know, we're on the producer's headsets and on the same channel as the MTV and Big Vision producers that are in another building watching everything with the directors, and they're laughing. They're eating this up. They're laughing so incredibly hard at Colt Cabana, his wrestling style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I yelled, I said, hey, guys, you know what? That's the way I work. It's not funny.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Let me make you a little taller and show you how this works. You know? Colt is one guy, and it's an art in itself to be able to instill humor in a match and still keep your attention. And
yes.
The sad part is, I see so many of these young guys try it and it don't work.
Exactly.
You know, and it's an art that he is actually very talented at.
Yes,
he is. He was born with it.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Cody, we got to get going. I'm sorry, but we're out of time.
Wow.
check it out. If you're in America on the East or Central Time Zone, Wrestling Society X is coming on MTV in 1.5 hour, guys.
Watch it. Definitely watch it. It's new. It's different. You know, we don't have Les totally sold in on already. I think we've got Doc coming our way. But Les, we're going to sell you on this. And you know, who knows? It might be Matt Classic 1 and Matt Classic 2.
Oh, hey,
Colt Cabana and Les Thatcher.
I'll work with you. Because you understand what the word means.
You'd make me look good, too.
I would do my best.
Cody, we'd love to have you back soon and continue the conversation.
Oh, I believe me. And Les knows. Let's sit here and tell some old stories.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll get into some older stuff in your career.
We can tell some Shane Douglas stories.
Oh, okay. That's two episodes.
We only have a two-hour show.
Exactly. Hey, I really appreciate this, guys. You know, thank you, and good luck with the show.
Hey, thank you very much.
Good luck, and you and I'll stay in touch.
Definitely.
My best to the wife, and we're glad to find out that you really don't hate women.
It's been revealed.
Yes.
Guys, thank you.
Hey, my friend, you take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you soon.
You do the same.
God bless, buddy.
God bless you. Bye.
Cody Michaels here on Wrestling Weekly. That's going to wrap things up, guys. Check us out next week. Josh Jug Raymond, a.k.a. Josh Abercrombie, is going to be on the program. So check it out, WrestlingWeekly.com, every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to get out of here, Les.
We had a full plate tonight, man.
Very, very full. We're going to have to stop doing two guests in a row.
Well, you're the booker. I'm just, you know, undercard talent here.
Absolutely. We're going to have Josh next week, and we're going to make it count, fellas.
All right, cool.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.